All right, today we have only one verse, Mark 5:34. We invite scripture reader. Oh, Brian, come.
Good morning, everybody. I will be reading from Mark chapter 5, verse 34, one verse only. Can the congregation please turn to Mark 5:34? Okay. He said to her, "Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace and be freed from your suffering." Amen.
Well, this morning we have our brother Edmund, our regular speaker, and he have entitled his message, "Trusting Jesus for Complete Healing." Edmund, please.
Morning, brothers and sisters in Christ. Truly, again, it's a privilege to worship with you. Today I've selected a passage of scripture which is a familiar passage of scripture. We have read it, and it's a fairly straightforward passage of scripture that we have encountered. This passage of scripture is quite clear, it's quite easy to understand, but it's also difficult to practice. Point three, this picture of this woman here, it challenges every one of us seated here today. Okay, sermon outline just very quickly. There was a woman with a long-term hormonal imbalance, and she suffered as a social outcast because of this hormonal imbalance for a long time, for a period of 12 years. When she heard of Jesus, she determined in her heart to believe in him for healing her condition. And the main motivation for her to be healed was so that she could rejoin the community of God. And let me explain some of these points a little bit more deeply as we encounter the text. All right, verse 25. And there was a woman. Here we're given the gender. It was a woman. Who was under the, who had been a subject of bleeding for 12 years. So it's a long period of time. And this bleeding was probably what doctors would call a hormonal imbalance today. That's what they would have called it. And she suffered under a great deal under the care of many doctors. That means she had actually gone from doctor to doctor, had a second opinion, a third opinion, fourth opinion. And every time she saw a doctor, she had to pay. And consequently, over the number of years, she had exhausted all her money already. Yet, instead of getting better, she actually grew worse. So some of the key points down here is, number one, she's a woman. And this detail is given to us because the writer of Mark wants to signal to us that this is a second-class citizen, because it was a patriarchal or a patriarchal system or society at that point in time. And there was this bleeding, and this is important. Let us turn to Leviticus 15, please. Can you please turn with me to Leviticus 15? That's the third book from the beginning, third book. And just read Leviticus 15, because Leviticus 15 sheds the cultural background for this woman. Leviticus 15, verses 25 to 27, I shall read it. When a woman has a discharge of blood for many days at a time other than her monthly period, or has a discharge that continues beyond her period, she will be unclean as she has the discharge, just as in the days of her period. In Leviticus 15, It says that it is normal for a woman to have a monthly a period, but if there is a bleeding that is not within her a period, then she's considered unclean. Verse 26, any bed she lies on while she while her discharge continues will be unclean. That means anything that she touches will be unclean. Verse 27, whoever touches them will also be unclean. So as a result of this, we turn back to Mark chapter 5. As a result of this, you must put yourself in this woman's shoes. This woman had a hormonal imbalance. And this hormonal imbalance could not be treated by doctors. She had sought several consultations, several opinions, and yet the doctors could not A, treat her, and B, her condition became worse. So what is not told here but is understood is, so long as she had this hormonal imbalance, people could not come into contact with her. So she was probably isolated. And you've got to put yourself in her position. She had no money, and now she was a social outcast because she was considered unclean. And she only wanted to be healed, primarily, of course, medically, because she wanted to be healed of this hormonal imbalance. But more importantly, she wanted to rejoin the community. Because so long as she had this hormonal imbalance, which is through no fault of hers, she was considered an outcast. And nobody would talk to her, nobody would touch her. All right? So we understand verses 25 and 26 first, it sets the background. So to recap, this woman was a second-class citizen. She had a long-term hormonal imbalance which resulted in her being ritually unclean. Those who came into contact with her were also ritually unclean. Nobody could help her. All the treatment she sought just drained her financially. And she, at the end, she just became destitute. And she wanted more than anything else to rejoin the community of God. Okay, verse 27. So verses 25 and 26 sets the cultural background for this story. Now this story takes place. Verse 27, when she heard about Jesus. Now, how did she hear about Jesus? And she heard about Jesus in verse, let us turn to verse, chapter 5, verses 18 to 20. Give you a couple of minutes there. That's the background, how she got to know about Jesus. How did she hear about Jesus? And this is about Jesus who healed a person who was possessed by demons. And in chapter 5, verse 18, he writes, and I'll read, as Jesus was getting into the boat, the man who had been demon-possessed begged to go with him. Verse 19, but Jesus said no. Jesus did not allow him to. Instead, what did Jesus say? Jesus said, go home to your family and tell them how much the Lord has done for you and how he has had mercy on you. Verse 20, and so the man went away and began to tell in the Decapolis how much Jesus had done for him. Now, this Decapolis is actually literally translated as 10 cities, and this is a region which had 10 cities. So this man who was healed by Jesus had gone to these 10 cities to tell of Jesus, how Jesus had healed him of an impossible situation. And in verse 21, Jesus comes again across the boat. So it's in the same region. So it's reasonable to infer that the woman must have heard as this man had proclaimed what God had done for him or Jesus had done for him. So in verse 27, when she heard about Jesus from this man who had been preaching or proclaiming Jesus' healing, she came up behind him in the crowd. Now, you must remember that the crowd, at this point in time, Jesus was very well known because he could heal the people, he could heal the sick, he could perform miracles, he could teach the people. So there was always a constant crowd around him. And I put there in note 3a, she was prepared to battle through the crowds to reach Jesus. You must imagine this situation. If you look at the BBC or CNN or one of those news outlets, when they cover the Middle East, and when you see that there is a great gathering of these people, you will find that it is a very highly emotional, charged situation, you know. And everybody chants together, everybody cries together, everybody shouts together. So this is the scene, you see. And she was prepared to go. And you must remember that Jesus was probably in the middle and there was a crowd around him. And she was prepared to battle through to meet up with him. And in verse 27 again, and touched his cloak. Because she thought or she believed, if I just touch his clothes, I will be healed. What a simple faith. There's nothing magical about the cloak. And we know this because it's not medicinal, it's not clinical. Mark writes for us and tells us that Jesus doesn't perform a medical miracle. It is not a medical miracle. It's not an issue of a misdiagnosis on the various parts, doctors. It's not that. So she thought in her mind, she believed, if I just touch his clothes, I will be healed. Why did she think that? Because she had seen or heard how Jesus had healed the man possessed by the demons in the previous small section. Immediately, what she did was she touched his cloak, and immediately, verse 29, immediately, why does Mark insert the word immediately? Because he wants to make the connection between the touching and the cause and the effect, so that there is no doubt what had happened. So immediately, her hormonal imbalance had stopped, and she felt in her body that she was freed from this suffering. So it was a very simple case down here. She heard about it. She knew about it. She saw this crowd gathering around Jesus, and they're all milling around and pushing. And she thought that she would reason in her heart, you know, this Jesus, he healed this guy, this demon possessor. Nobody could heal him, you know. And he was, after he was healed, he was sane. And he could tell the people in the 10 cities how he had been healed. Simple. It was a simple message. So she reasoned in her heart. I mean, if Jesus could do for the demon-possessed guy, he can also do for me. Right? It was a very simple logical deduction. And she thought, she didn't have to say, hey, let me make an appointment now. NUS hospital has a hotline. You call reservation, they give you an appointment, not usually a month. No. If I just touch his clothes, I don't need an MRI. If I just touch his clothes, I don't need a PET scan. If I just touch his clothes, I don't need an X-ray. I will be healed. There is certainty in her belief. And in verse 29, we are told immediately between her belief and her act on that belief, the consequence was she was immediately healed. And she felt in her own body that she was freed from this suffering. One other thing to note, in verses 25 and 26, it gives a situation. It paints a situation that this woman was desperate already. She had no plan B, you know. She had no plan B. She only had one plan. You see, she didn't reason in her heart, verse 28, let me see, if this doesn't work, I have plan B. And if that doesn't work, I got actually plan C and plan D. She had no plan. She had only one way forward. Okay, let's move on. This verse 30 to 32 had puzzled me for many years. Verse 30, at once Jesus realized that the power had gone out from him. He turned out in the crowd, around in the crowd, and asked, who touched me? And then verse 31, you can see everybody is crowding against you. The disciples answered, And you ask, who touched me? I mean, it's obvious, right? Everybody is touching you. Right? What had puzzled me was verse 32. Why Jesus kept on looking around to see who had done it? Why? Why did he just say, let's move on. It's just this thing here, one of these things that happened. Let's move on. Okay, so in verse 30, immediately when she had believed and touched his cloak or his garment, she was immediately healed. Jesus realized that his power had gone out from him. And he turned around. Hey, who touched me? Why? Because he knew that his power had gone out. And then the people around him said, how to tell you? Lord, how to tell you? Everybody is milling around you. Everybody is pushing against you. But, verse 32, but Jesus kept on going around to see who had done it. And after many years, then I realized this, as I was studying this passage of scripture recently. Jesus realized that, Jesus realized that his power had gone out from him, and he looks around for the person who caused this power to go out of him. Why? Because he was looking for a public acknowledgement, a public testimony. In an honor culture system, if a patron, in this case Jesus, has bestowed a gift on a client, then it was rightful for the client to give loud public thanksgiving to the patron. Now, let me just put this so that everybody's on the same page. I realize that I've not touched on this for some time. In the in Jesus's day, there were three types of people. There were the clients. Clients were people who needed something and were destitute and could not help themselves. These were clients. Clients, and then there was another group of people who were the patrons. Patrons were people who had the resource, who could distribute these gifts. They were not in need. They were the ones who could dispense these gifts. So on the other hand, there were patrons. In the middle were brokers. Brokers were people who represented both parties, who took the needs of the clients and presented the needs of the clients to the patron. Now, I'm going to digress a little bit here. All right? In the scripture, God the Father is always a patron. God the Father is always the patron. He's never the broker. He's never the client. God the Father is always the broker. Jesus in the Bible is either the broker or the patron. It depends on the context. All right? The people could be clients, brokers, or patrons, depending on the context again. All right? So in this context, you will find that Jesus is the patron and the woman is the client. There's no broker in this sense, but in this sense. Now, in the honor and shame culture, you will find that if a patron has done, if a client has a need, and the client comes to the patron with this need, and the patron grants this client the gift, you will find that it is expected that the client will publicly acknowledge the patron. He will publicly announce, yes, this patron has done this for me, and increase the patron's honor. That's why Jesus will not keep quiet here. Jesus will not keep quiet. Why? Because if he keep quiet, he will be shamed. So he wanted a public acknowledgement that he had done something for this woman. If the client had remained silent, I mean, if the woman keep on keeping quiet, then the patron would be shamed. And Jesus was not about to accept this situation. That's why he kept on looking in verse 32. That's the reason why he kept on looking to see who had done it. Okay, in verse 33, the woman, knowing what had happened to her, means what? Means knowing that she had been healed. Why? Because we are told in verse 29, verse 28, she was immediately healed of her hormonal imbalance. So this woman knew what had happened to her. She had been immediately healed of her hormonal imbalance. She had no choice. She came and fell at his feet, trembling with fear, told him the truth. Fell at his feet means what? Fell at his feet is a public acknowledgement. This is the to fall at somebody's feet is to completely say, I am much, much lower than you. I cannot dig the ground. So what I do is to show that I am lower than you, I lie down or I fall at your feet. So this was a public acknowledgement. She fell at his feet to signify that I publicly acknowledge that you are the one, you are the patron who healed me. And she was trembling with fear because the patron was very powerful. And she told him the truth. And she told him the whole truth. And what does the whole truth here mean? The whole truth here means this. The whole truth, you got to look at verses 5 to 27. The whole truth meant that she would have told him this. She would have told him, number one, Lord, you know I'm a woman now. And I'm a second-class citizen. Consequently, I have this hormonal imbalance, Lord. You know this. And this hormonal imbalance has caused me for a period of 12 years to look for doctors, you know. And these doctors can't heal me and make me even worse. And every time I see a doctor, the doctor will bleed me dry. And consequently, after 12 years, I'm a destitute. And I want nothing more than to rejoin the community of God. That is what the whole truth is. So, when she told him this, he said to her, daughter, this is what we call an unexpected inversion. She had been trembling with fear. Why? Because this patron was very powerful, you know. In that culture, the patron was very, very powerful. And when you come to the patron, he's done something for you, you keep quiet. And then the patron got to ask you, he's going to chew you up, you see. So, this was something that is unexpected. He calls her daughter, which is a term of endearment. A term of endearment. She says, he says, go in peace, which means now I've healed you of your hormonal imbalance. You're freed from your suffering, means because you no longer have this hormonal imbalance, you are free to rejoin the community of God now, which is your original objective. You are freed from your suffering. So this is the picture or the story that we have. Simple picture, simple story. Now, as we read this story, we can contemplate this story and understand this story on two levels. One is a picture of a sinner who is healed of sin, and it's now part of the community of God. That's one way to read this on one level. The other level is to read it as we all have difficulties in life for which Jesus alone is able to help us. And let me just try and tabulate this for you so it becomes clear. So, on the first level, we read this as a sinner. So, number one, the woman with a long-term hormonal imbalance is like it's a picture of a person who has a nature of sin. And these doctors could not cure this hormonal imbalance. It's like a picture of a religious leader cannot cure sin. They cannot, despite what they tell you, the various religions. They cannot cure you from sin. As long as she was in this condition of this hormonal imbalance, she was ritually unclean and had to be excluded from the community. So long as sinners remain in their sin, sinners are outside the community of God. So long as you're in sin, in this condition of sin, you will be outside the community of God. But she has a choice. She has decided in her heart to trust Jesus for healing. Why? Because the doctors all cannot heal her. Instead of making her better, or maintaining status quo, they made her worse. So sinners can decide in their hearts today to trust Jesus for healing. Next, not only you can trust in your heart, you've got to act. You've got to act this out. You've got to exercise this faith. So sinners also can proclaim and trust in Jesus today. Jesus heals her immediately. So there is no time left. Anybody here today who wants to trust in Jesus? Here and now. You don't need a special place. Once she is healed, she's restored into the community of God. And so sinners rightfully, why? Why is the good news? Why is it the good news? The good news is sinners can now rejoin the rightful kingdom of God. This is where God had intended human beings to be, in the community of God. And she publicly honored Jesus for his healing. So therefore, repeatedly, regularly, the gospel is preached from this pulpit. So in summary, brothers and sisters, those who hear this message, as you encounter this woman, you ask yourself, is there sin in my life? Have I trusted in Jesus for salvation? Point two, you could have visited many religions, you know, done comparative religion, you know. But I can tell you, religious leaders cannot heal you from sin. And so long as you continue to remain in your sin, you'll be outside the kingdom of God. But today, here and now, you can trust. Just like the woman, she met Jesus in a crowd. She pushed her way through to the front, decided, I want to believe in. You can do that here and now, in your hearts. You can do that here and now. You can be saved. Jesus immediately heals her. She does not ask who did it first. He heals her first, then ask for the acknowledgement. Here, Jesus, here and now, can heal you from sin. You can be a child of God sitting here. And once she is healed, she is so happy because she now can rejoin the community of God. Similarly, sinners down here, you can join the community of God, the rightful community of God. So that's on one level we can read this passage of Scripture. The other level in which we can read this is, this long-term hormonal imbalance is a picture of a long-term desperate situation. And I speak from my own experience. I worked for a boss for a period of 3 years. Wow, the boss was toxic, man. This was an incident maybe close to maybe 20 years ago. But once in a while, I have a nightmare of this boss. So it is a picture of this desperate situation. And at that point in time, nobody could help me. Nobody could help me because this boss only picked on me. There's nobody else to help. So we can be like this woman. We can trust Jesus and say that, Lord, you can help me in this desperate situation. And for 3 years, I endured. 3 years. And then one fine day, company reorg, boss promoted, I sideways transfer, demoted. I was happy. And until today, I give thanks. I also had a situation of a boss, toxic environment boss. Wow, this boss was really, really squeezed blood from stone. He wanted me to do some unethical things. I said, Lord, please help me. That job, thank God, lasted 9 months, company closed down. I've never been so happy to be out of job. So on the on the practical level, many of you have bosses who are in toxic environment. Many of you could be carrying long-term illnesses. Could have a child who is rebellious long-term. Could have a a relative who is difficult, could have an uncertain future, could have an uncooperative classmate or colleague. These are long-term problems. So we can be like this woman. This woman challenges us. Very simple faith. That's why I say this passage of scripture, very easy to understand, but very difficult to practice. Let us close. Father in heaven, we thank you for this woman who challenges us. Lord, she is a second-class citizen. She has a long-term hormonal imbalance through no fault of hers. But yet, she was determined in her heart to come and trust you for healing. Lord, and we know that you have healed her immediately, Lord. Father, we just want to thank you that we have heard this gospel. Many of us have heard this gospel. Many of us have responded to this gospel. Father, we thank you that we can be like her and rejoin the community of God. Father, for those who are struggling, maybe with uncooperative colleagues, toxic bosses, long-term relative relations, which are not good. Father, we pray that you help us this day to walk right before you, to exercise faith, to continue to trust in you, that you are able to immediately. Doesn't mean that you will do it immediately, but you are able to heal immediately. Father, we want to commend ourselves to your loving hands this week as we give you all the thanks. In Jesus' name we pray. Can we sing one hymn, please? It is well with my soul. Can you help me there, pianist, please? May I ask the congregation to rise, please? And then let's sing this from our hearts, knowing that God can really work in our hearts, that we have a heart, a soul that is well before him. Yes, please. Intro.
It is well, it is well.
thank you for the fine singing. Deacon Lawrence, please.